Good morning, everybody. It's good to be together today. I know we got some folks that are straggling in. We had a great time this morning downstairs at the curated conversation. I say we, but I wasn't actually down there. But I'm assuming y'all had a good time down there, those of you who were, I heard good reviews. So I'm happy for those who were able to make that. We've got a wonderful service plan today, lots of really exciting things to do together, ways to connect with each other and with God. And I'm just really excited to be here. My name is John, and I'm one of the pastors here at the church, and I just want to say welcome to all of you. If you're visiting, I welcome you this morning. We're kind of a slow start kind of church, so, you know, it takes us a little bit to get into the groove and everybody get in here and get going, but we're going to jump into it. A couple of things that most of you know about, but we do have Connect cards. I love when y'all fill those out, particularly even if you've been coming for a long time. Like, the prayer request section is, I just love it because I get myself and the staff and the prayer team get an email with these prayer requests every week, and it's wonderful for me to hear about what's going on in your all's lives and know how I can be praying for you, and I know the prayer team appreciates that also. Also, we do have announcement sheets at the welcome tables. There's a lot of good stuff coming up, a lot of things in here that are important. I encourage you to read through that. It goes out through email each week also if you're on the email list. And we do have the stream on Facebook, and we have the stream of the service in the cafe. So if you ever need to step out for any reason, you can go in the cafe and you can still hear what's going on. If it's not loud enough, just turn it up on the TV. And I think that's all we've got for our things to tell you this morning. Oh, the last thing, if you would like to make an offering this morning, give a tithe, financial gift to the church, you can do that online at our website, embraceyourcity.com, or you can do that in the boxes by the door over here and over there in the back. But we're going to get started, so I invite you all to stand as you're able, and Christina and our worship team are going to invite us into worship this morning.
Join in this call to worship. O Lord, let my soul rise up to meet you, as the day rises to meet the sun. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We were created alike but not the same. In the image of the living God, who has called us all by name. Every language, every color, you and I are sisters and brothers. We're all children of the Father.
Proclaim. children of the Father. Praise to the one, the Creator of all. Oh, God of all nations, we sing out to you. From the ends of the earth to the heavens we do. With the words of our mouth we proclaim what is true. Oh, God of all nations, we sing out to you. Oh, God of all nations, we sing out to you.
Let us join in a confession, knowing that everything we bring and place before the Lord this morning, He gives us beauty for ashes. We know that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Let us in freedom confess the wrong we have done. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So grateful to worship with you all as family this morning. It is the tradition of our family to spend a few minutes together now sharing our gratitude and lament. And that means you can share if it's a good thing or if it's a hard thing. You don't have to put on a fake face here and just try and be happy if you're not. So if there is something you're celebrating, please feel free to share that. If there's something weighing heavy on you this morning or that you're protesting in our world or in your own life, there is space to share that this morning too. If somebody shares and you don't know what to say in response, thank you is always appropriate because anytime we share, we're giving each other a gift. So let's spend a few moments and we'll come back together to worship some more. We're going to continue to worship together this morning. I invite you to stand with us again if you would like to. You're welcome to stay seated if that's a more comfortable way for you to worship. But we're going to sing together some more this morning.
Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to deep, then we sing, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
This morning, we have another couple joining our church. Let's give a hand as we all go down here. Nothing makes me more excited than growing the family. And this morning, Liz and Jesse have decided to join and become members of Embrace Church. And I just gave your names away, but still, I'd like to hear your voices. These are, please meet.
It's a surprise. I'm Liz.
And I'm Jesse. Pleasure.
Yeah. And in becoming part of the family today, they're going to make some agreements with us this morning. You'll just say, I do or I will. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers in this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people of all ages, nations, and races? Do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments? Will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? As a member of Embrace Church, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Embrace Church, I commend these people to you, to your love and care. Do all in your power to help them stay on the right path, following closely after their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Love them, encourage them, challenge them, and push them closer to God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let's give them another hand. Yeah. Make sure to give them a big welcome. Ask about hugs if people like hugs, but hug and welcome them to the family. We're so glad to have you guys officially join. You can have a seat. All right. I just want to share a couple of quick announcements this morning. First of all, I will remind you that it is almost time for camp, which is a really exciting time in the lives of our students. And we're going to have a good group of students headed off to Aldersgate in the first week of June. So we are looking to raise scholarships for them to go. As wonderful as camp is, we don't want anyone to have a financial burden. And so we don't actually ask anyone to pay anything. Aldersgate has covered half in the past, and then we as a church have committed to covering the other half for each student, each family to be able to just receive that as a gift this summer. And so we would love for you to invest in the lives of our students through camp, and you can give a partial scholarship or a full scholarship. You can, you know, whatever you have to give that is extra, you can just give it towards Aldersgate if you want to. And so the full amount of a scholarship that the church is covering is $150, and you can give that or any portion of that either this morning in the boxes, or if you want to give online, just put camp in the memo, and Rachel will get that where it needs to go. So please keep thinking about camp, praying about that. If you want to hear more about it, let us know. We've got some students who would love to tell you how awesome camp is. I also want to remind you we need some nursery volunteers, and it is Pastor John who says this. I think it's a phenomenal line, but Jesus would be in the nursery. Jesus would love on the babies. He says, let the little children come to me. No guilt, though. We don't like to do that. Just, I thought that was funny. But we do have really awesome babies in there. My baby will be in there at some point in the future when we're done snuggling her ourselves. Yes. And we have had a phenomenal crew of longtime volunteers in there. And everybody needs a season of rest. So we would like for some new folks to step up and to join that nursery team so that the nursery volunteers only have to serve a couple times a quarter. It's not going to be a huge commitment, and you're going to get to love on some babies and invest in some families and their spiritual growth by letting the parents come to church without their kids. So if you have any interest or any ability or any willingness, really, you can talk to me about it, and you can email Rachel and let us know that you would like to volunteer in the nursery. We would like probably like three people. So if that is planting a seed, let us know. I'll also remind you, actually, this is the first time you're hearing about it, but if you read about it in the announcement sheet, then you will hear more information as well. But we are going to have a really special option this year to participate in Mother's Day a little bit differently. So we will do a little bit of liturgy together on Mother's Day morning, but we also acknowledge that Mother's Day is a really hard holiday for a lot of us. That might be because we have lost our mom. That might be because we don't have a good relationship with our mom. Or we might have lost a child or really longed for a child and not have one. There's lots of reasons Mother's Day is hard. And so this year, Felice Salmon is actually inviting us into a beautiful contemplative liturgical practice to make space to honor those complicated Mother's Day experiences and emotions. And so if you have any of those experiences or emotions, or you just want to participate in some liturgy and come and lend your support with your physical presence, you are welcome to do that. Felice will be leading this service outside, so that'll be really special as well, at the labyrinth of the Episcopal Burying Grounds. So the address for that is in the announcement sheet or the announcement email. And if you want to know more about it, I'm sure you can ask Felice as well, and her information is in there for you to contact her. But it's an opportunity to engage in some liturgy and to make some space for lament and grief, and just to welcome all of the different experiences that are part of Mother's Day. So that'll be 6 to 8 p.m. on Mother's Day, which is May 12th. So please participate in that if you are interested. And then the last thing I will highlight, man, we got lots of good stuff going on, y'all. It's a great, great thing. We have a new group starting up called the Wounded Healers Group. If you have not read a bunch of Henry Nouwen, that's his phrase, and there's a really great quote in the announcements to tell you what that means, why we're using that term. But we have lots of folks in our family who are in the helping professions, all sorts of different helping professions. And we think it would be great if we could get all those people together to support each other and to talk about gathering our resources and energies to love our community well. And so Rob Durham, who is a longtime helping profession individual, is going to be leading us in that. He really has a heart for getting y'all together and kind of combining energies and efforts. And if you have not ever met Rob, you want to be his friend. So come just to hang out with Rob, if nothing else. Yeah, he probably is uncomfortable that I said that, but I mean it. So that is happening on May 19th before the service. If you want to bring names of provider recommendations or that sort of thing with you, that'll be part of what this group hopes to do. But if you just want to show up as your wounded, exhausted, needing connection self, there's also a space for that. So we would love to have wounded healers join us together on that morning and to join that new group together. So those are the announcements. You can read more about them. Again, you can get the email if you don't already. But now I'm going to dismiss our kids to the Wonder Room along with their volunteers. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. If your child is 4 years old through fifth grade, they are invited to the Wonder Room. If this is their first time, we ask that you would walk up with them and make sure we have emergency contact info for you because we like to be safe. And then you can pick them up afterwards. The older kids are downstairs, the younger kids are upstairs. All right, enjoy your time in the Wonder Room.
Thank you, Christina. We're gonna spend a little bit of time in. My child is yelling at me from the back. Hello, Kai. He doesn't like that I'm up here. I knew this would happen, but you know, it's okay. He doesn't like sharing me with all of you, unfortunately. We're going to spend some time praying this morning, and so we're going to kneel at the altar. If y'all would like to join me, anybody's welcome. You're also able to stay in your pews and pray there as well. We're just going to spend a little bit of time connecting with God and spending that time together. And so if y'all would just bow your heads with me as we enter into this time of prayer. God, we come to you this morning and we are so grateful to be here. We are grateful to be with one another. Grateful for the just kind of spark of energy and love that we can feel just by gathering together. We're grateful, Lord, that you are here, that you are present. We're grateful for the words of these songs and the liturgies and the prayers and just all the things that we've done up until this point that help point us to you. Help us to see beyond just the here and now. Help us to see something beautiful and good in the midst of this painful and difficult place that we're living in. We come to you, Lord, with just burdens on our hearts. We come to you with heaviness in our spirits. And we also come with joys and gratitude and love. And so, God, we just bring our full selves to you today, and we ask that you would meet us. We ask that you would just meet us here in a profound and an important way, God, that it would be almost like we are being held by you this morning. Lord, I know that I come today just pretty tired and a lot going on in my life, and I know many other people are coming likely tired or just feeling overwhelmed. I know some are just facing really big obstacles and don't know how they're going to get over it. Some are just coming today, Lord, just holding the heaviness and weariness of life and grief and loss. And God, there's just so much, God, that we're holding right now. And we just ask that you would help us, that you would, through the power of your Spirit, that God, you would help to hold these things for us, that you would walk with us, that you would fall down beside us as we can't do it anymore. Lord, we just need you so much. God, we lament all the just suffering and pain going on in our world. We lament the just hard reality of homelessness that many people right here in our own community are facing, many people that I know personally. God, we lament just the way that our society just doesn't care about people who struggle very much, prefers to get them out of sight, just out of their mind. And God, I just lament that, and we just pray, God, against that kind of mindset, Lord, and we pray for more openness and compassion and love. We pray, continue, Lord, to travail in prayer and persevere in prayer along with so many people in Palestine who are just suffering, God, from this ongoing onslaught and war, who are afraid of this impending potential invasion in Rafah and are struggling just to get ends meet, just enough to live and survive. And God, it's just unspeakable. It's hard to even know what to pray for. And God, now we just pray that your Spirit would pray in words and groanings and utterances that we don't even know how to express right now. Help us, Lord, to not turn away, but to keep our eyes open and to continue to try to be people, Lord, who have compassion in our hearts for those who suffer the most. God, we need you so much. God, this morning I also just want to pray for our kids, all of our little ones in our church, from the smallest babies that have just been born all the way to our older kids and our teenagers and our young adults. God, we just pray that you would continue to protect them. This world is a difficult and often dangerous place for them, and we pray you would protect them, that you would soothe their anxieties and their fears and their worries. Help them to feel safe and connected to this church community, that they would feel loved and supported and valued. Lord, we need you so much. We pray you would be with us now. And now we join together and pray this prayer that Jesus taught us, his disciples, to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, we can eat bread after we're done, okay? Like all of us, Kai loves the communion bread. And I promise we will get some. So last week we began this new series focusing on the book of Acts. And I'm really excited on getting into this series. We're going to kind of ease into it and unpack it over the course of many weeks throughout the year. We learned that the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Acts are both actually written by the same person, most likely a person named Luke, who was a companion of Paul. And it's something we miss often because, you know, the Gospel of John is sitting right between Luke and Acts in our Bibles, but they're really meant to be read as part one and part two of the same series. And so these books are meant to be experienced together, and both books are about Jesus. Even though Jesus is only on the scene at the very beginning of Acts, Acts is still all about Jesus and his ministry through the power of the Spirit. The first book, the Gospel of Luke, we learned, was all about what Jesus began to do through his actions, through his ministry, through his teachings. And then Acts is all about Jesus continuing to do and teach through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Some have said that Acts, you could call it the Testament of the Spirit or the Gospel of the Spirit. And the Spirit was Jesus' living presence, living and working through the early church. And we believe that the Spirit is still among us even today, living and working among us, empowering us to continue the ministry of Jesus right now in our world today. As we're going to see in Acts, the church's mission and ministry is all about Jesus. It's all about continuing what he started. Not just singing praise to Jesus, which we do. Not just praying to Jesus, which we do. But it's also about continuing on that mission of Jesus that he started so long ago. You know, for many people, I think Acts is a little bit hard to connect with. I don't know if y'all have that experience that you've read in the book of Acts and you're like, this book's a little bit hard to connect with. Talk of the Spirit can make us sometimes a little uncomfortable or confused. In some faith traditions, the Holy Spirit is talked about a lot, but in others, the Holy Spirit's barely even mentioned. Francis Chan wrote a book years ago called The Forgotten God, and his whole argument was that we've kind of forgotten about the Holy Spirit, and we don't talk about this third person in the Holy Trinity enough. I was talking to a high school girl recently, and she was telling me that she visited a charismatic church here in town, and she went into this church, and people were speaking in tongues, they were shouting, they were dancing, and she's like, it felt very overwhelming to be in that setting because she was not used to being in that type of place. She said it felt kind of uncomfortable to her, and I believe a lot of us probably have those feelings depending on kind of our upbringing. In our modernized, really highly technological society where we're so focused on the rational mind and focused on figuring everything out, talk of the Spirit or spiritual things can feel a bit kind of rah-rah out there, like, I don't mess with that stuff. Sometimes it feels like it's fake. We assume it's not real. There's no such thing as Spirit. Come on. This is not real. Acts is really going to challenge some of those assumptions that maybe we have in our society. I will say, though, as I get older and as I see more and more in our world, as I see more hard things in our world, as I see more suffering in our world, as I see more pain and violence and war and all this stuff, I find myself searching for the spiritual a little more than I used to. I'm really searching more than ever to try to find some kind of meaning and purpose and something good that is deeper than what's right in front of me. Something maybe that's harder to see, but searching for something that maybe is out there, that maybe I'm missing. Digging for something deeper. Do any of y'all have that experience that you're like, we need something more than this? You know, as we go through Acts, we're going to explore this kind of tension that we feel often between what we call the material world and the spiritual world. This tension between what we see in front of us and what we believe and hope is beyond us in the heavenly realms. You know, Luke and Acts both tell a story of a man named Jesus. And Jesus was a human, just like you and I. He had a body. He walked among us. But Luke and Acts also tell a story about a spirit that moves among us in mysterious ways, beckoning us and inviting us to experience something beyond just the here and now. So I'm excited for all of it, and I believe God is present in all of it. Let me read our text for this morning. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you restore the kingdom to Israel? They're talking to Jesus and some of his followers. He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward the heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So this is the beginning of the book of Acts. Just before these verses, the resurrected Jesus, Luke tells us, appeared to his followers for a period of about 40 days, he says. And it says he taught them about the kingdom of God. Now, if you remember, all throughout Luke, all throughout Mark, all the Gospels, Jesus' main theme was the kingdom of God. So it's interesting, after he rose from the dead, he's like, well, I'm going to pick up where I left off and just continue to teach you about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was Jesus' most important teaching. Now, the kingdom of God, I've heard someone describe it as God's dream for the world. That the kingdom of God is God's dream for the world. What does God's creation look like when everything is working as it should, when everything is under the reign of God? Well, the scriptures teach us that it is peace, it's justice, it's love, it's belonging, it's the sustaining presence of God, it's beautiful, it's all things working in harmony for the good of all. I wish our world worked that way, right? But that's God's dream, that's the intention, that's what the plan was in Genesis when all this was created. And we know that things got off course for a few reasons, and things have gotten, continue to be off course. But the Israelites, as they connected to God, as the prophets were called and were speaking this powerful truth from God, they all were speaking and longing for this vision, this dream of God for salvation and restoration and healing. And for generations, the prophets continued to come and cast this vision of all of the world, all of creation, working together for the good of everyone. And this is what Jesus taught, and this is what Jesus modeled for 3 years of ministry. So when Jesus, I want y'all to understand, when he talked about salvation, when we talk about being saved, it's not just about one person giving their life to Jesus. This is a grand vision that everything is going to be healed and restored and be made right. And that's what Jesus was talking about over and over and over again. And so Jesus came, and he talked to them after he rose from the dead for 40 days about the kingdom of God. And so after these 40 days, some of his followers came to him and they asked this question. Lord, is this the time when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now this is a profound question. They had been waiting for generations for this day to come, for God's reign to finally come, for the kingdom to finally look like it was supposed to look, for God's salvation and deliverance and healing. Jesus had rose from the dead, and I imagine in their minds, they're like, that was confirmation that he was truly the one that they had all been waiting for, the Messiah who is going to usher in this new age of redemption and healing and wholeness. And so naturally, they ask him, they're like, Jesus, is this the time? Is the kingdom finally here? And they were probably excited about that possibility. Remember, the Jewish people were suffering. They were struggling. They were living in an occupied land under the Roman Empire. They needed something big to happen. They needed to be freed from oppression. They needed salvation. I was talking to a man in front of our church yesterday, and he doesn't have a place to live, and he's been living on the streets, and he was talking about all these prophecies of the end times, and he just seemed so excited about the idea that maybe these prophecies would come true. For someone who's very comfortable in this world, the end times seem scary. For someone who's really struggling, the end of it all sounds great, right? Set all this right. Turn this world upside down. The Jewish people were longing for this day because they needed to be free. Their farmlands had been taken from them. Their streams, their families, their lakes, their animals, all of it needed salvation. Of course, they were hoping for the kingdom to be restored to Israel. They were hoping for God's desire, God's dream to become reality. You know, I used to think, and I'd been taught that this question was out of line for them to ask. I'd been taught that they were just being selfish, and they were thinking that they are just going to rise to political power, assuming that Jesus' followers were power hungry, misunderstanding the kingdom of God, thinking that it was all about political power and might. But I don't think that's what they were thinking about. They had lived 3 years with Jesus, hearing him teach on the kingdom of God. Then he rose from the dead, taught them for 40 straight days about the kingdom of God. I think some things were starting to click for them. And they understood that that meant salvation and healing and redemption. They were longing for that. These prophecies about the coming of the kingdom, they were not purely spiritual things. They thought and believed that society was going to be transformed when the kingdom of God came in its fullness. That there was going to be this peaceable kingdom when everybody was cared for, where everybody had enough. And I wonder if that's what the followers of Jesus were asking about. Is now the time when we will be free and all will finally be well? I mean, that's a deep question to ask. It's a bold question to ask. And Jesus didn't rebuke them for their question, but he did offer some correction for their question. First, he replied to them. He said, it's not for you to know the periods or times that the Father has set by his own authority. Now, essentially, he told them that the timing of the coming of the kingdom was not for them to know. Now, I think this is very hard. It's very hard when we are not told the whole picture. It's very hard to be patient. Do y'all find it hard to be patient? Particularly when you're waiting for something that you need, something that you really need in your life to make you be whole. It's really hard to be patient. Now, it's even harder to be patient when you don't know when that healing is going to come. When you don't know when that future thing is going to come. That is even harder. I've been on this foster care journey for a long time, and it's required so much patience for me and for my family. And being patient has been so much harder for us because we've not known how long it would take. We don't know when the end is coming, and the future has been uncertain. I don't know why God doesn't tell us everything. And maybe it's better that we don't know. I don't know. It's a mystery to me. But he doesn't. He doesn't tell us everything. And he asks us to trust him anyway and to be patient. And so I'm trying to lean into that trust and believe that if God is the perfect parent and I'm this child who doesn't really know a lot, maybe God understands better than I do and knows that maybe I shouldn't know everything. I don't know. But it's fascinating to me, too, that people try to continue to predict when Jesus is going to come back. They just happened again with the eclipse. People are saying that Jesus is going to come back now. This is the prophecies are coming true. And I'm like, Jesus said it over and over and over again. Paul said it. Others said it in the scriptures over and over and over again. You're not going to know when this is going to happen. Like, you're not going to know. And this is hard for us. And it's hard. It was hard for those early followers. So he says, it's not for you to know the timing of all this. But then the second response Jesus gave to the question about the kingdom was this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now this verse, I'll leave it up there for a second. It's got a lot in it. It's very, very important. And we're going to unpack this verse probably for the whole time we go through Acts. Because as we're going to talk about, this is almost like an outline for the whole book of Acts. But it's so important. And I want to talk about one particular aspect of it. So, not only did the disciples want to know when the kingdom would be restored, but by their question, when it's going to be restored to Israel, it seems that they had assumed that the kingdom of God was primarily just for them. That they were going to be the ones restored, that their kingdom was going to be the one experiencing this wholeness and this peace and this goodness. Is this the time when the kingdom will be restored to Israel, they ask. It seems by this question that their vision was limited to their own restoration, to their own peace, to their own justice, to their own healing. Their longing for the kingdom to be restored was beautiful, and I believe that was a God-given longing. However, it seems here that Jesus corrected them because they assumed that God's goodness and healing was just for them. But you have to understand their mentality makes total sense. If you're being pushed down to the bottom, if you're being oppressed, if you're being rejected, if you're experiencing pain, then of course you're going to desire that your people are going to be restored and healed. And it's unlikely that you're going to desire restoration and healing for others, especially the people who are oppressing you and hurting you. To imagine healing and salvation not just for yourself, but for everyone else and even those who hurt you, that is a huge leap, and that is almost nearly impossible. That is hard to do. I've read a lot about the freedom movement, the civil rights movement in America. Finished reading a book about Martin Luther King Jr. last year, and one interesting thing about this book and what I've learned about Dr. King is Dr. King continued to cast a vision of healing and salvation for Black Americans. But Dr. King wanted to see healing and redemption and salvation to white Americans, to people in Vietnam that were suffering the just tragedy of the Vietnam War, to all the poor and suffering, to everyone. And he cast this vision of redemption and healing for all of creation. And he actually faced some pushback and some criticism from some of his people. Because they're like, why are you talking so much about everyone else? We need help. We need to be set free. We're being hurt. You need to advocate for us. But he would not back down. And I believe that's because Dr. King was so deeply influenced by the teachings and life of Jesus that he tapped into what Jesus is teaching here. That the kingdom was not meant to be restored just for one people group. But God's reign is extended beyond just Jerusalem and Judea, but even to Samaria and even all the way to the ends of the earth. To the Gentiles and to the people of this Roman Empire that were oppressing them. Justo Gonzalez writes, a historian, Bible scholar, writes that the reign of God is much wider than they themselves thought or expected. Jesus taught that God's dream for a world of shalom, this all-encompassing peace and justice and harmony, is not just for one people, but it's for the entire world. This was not new, though. This was not even a new teaching. Jesus was tapping into the prophetic tradition in the Jewish faith, the Hebrew faith. All the prophets talked about this vision of God's creation, all of it being transformed. The whole thing of the Israelites being chosen was to be chosen to be a blessing to the world. And this was what Jesus was tapping into, this prophetic tradition, letting them know that this is not just for you, this is for everyone. Perhaps some of his followers knew this in their hearts. They had studied the prophets. They knew this tradition. But maybe fear and suffering and struggle, you know, like all of us, it tempts us to turn inward, to protect ourselves. And then we neglect God's vision for all people to know the blessing of living in fellowship with the God of Israel. So after he said these words, he went up into heaven and he left them down below. And while they were looking up to heaven, two men appeared in front of them in white robes, and they said these words, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Their leader had left them. What now? What do we do? The men in white robes told them, "Stop gazing up to heaven and get on with it and get to Jerusalem like Jesus told you to do." And so they left and went to Jerusalem to wait for the Spirit to be given. Justo Gonzalez argues that there are two temptations that we find in this section of Scripture. Two temptations for followers of Jesus. We're going to talk about the first one this week, the second one next week. But the first one I've already mentioned, but it's this, that we will narrow the borders of God's reign. This is a temptation that we will narrow the borders of God's reign. It is always a temptation. It's always been a temptation for followers of God to assume that God is only on their side, that God only fights for their cause, only promotes their agenda. In America, for example, we have conservative Christians and we have progressive Christians. And both sides feel like that God has told them to fight against the other one, that God is on their side to promote their agenda, and that whatever their vision is, that is what God wants. That is what God wants. I believe God blows all that out of the water. And that God's vision is way more radical than either of them can figure out or ever discern. Because Jesus has offered something to us. Our nation has long believed a lie of this American exceptionalism. It's woven into so much of the way we talk. Listen to a presidential speech. It doesn't matter if they're a Democrat or Republican or anything else. They all say it. That somehow America is better than all the other places in the world, that we're more moral, that we have more integrity, that we can do whatever we want. We're not accountable because we are blessed by God. It is talked about over and over and over again. This is a myth. This is a myth. This is not, I believe, has any truth to it because the gospel's for the whole world. Gospel's for the whole world. There is a rise in our nation, really across the whole globe, not just here in America, of Christian nationalism. And that asserts that the kingdom of God belongs only to a certain group of people and not to others. This has been a threat and a temptation all throughout history. I was talking with a man on Monday and then yesterday as well in front of our church. Two different people. They don't have homes. They're living on the street. And they've been lamenting. He was lamenting how churches often reject him and make him feel so unwelcome. I talked to another couple that same night who said, can we come to your church if we don't have nice clothes? Because other churches don't let us come in and treat us like we don't matter. Someone else told me that a pastor came out and violently asked them to get off their porch in a very violent and rough way and made them feel so unloved. Christian politicians are trying to criminalize the fact that this man is poor and doesn't have a home. Too many believe that God's peaceable reign does not extend to the poor. When that's mind-boggling to me, because that's what Jesus talked about so much, perhaps more than almost anything else. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. It's about the people on the bottom being lifted up. It's about lifting everybody up so that we all can have access to enough. We could easily extend our list of the way we narrow the borders of God's reign, but Jesus said, we will witness to the ends of the earth. Acts is about drawing the circle of God's kingdom wider and wider and wider and wider. And we'll never get wide enough to be as compassionate and loving and inclusive as our God is, right? And so we always need to be challenged to continue drawing that circle wider. Many have argued that verse 8 of Acts, 1:8, is an outline for the whole book, where he says, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. I put it on the screen there. You have Jerusalem. The ministry in Acts begins in Jerusalem. This is the place, the central place for the Jewish faith. Then they start to extend out to the regions around, into Samaria, into Judea, other parts of that area. And then eventually Paul ends up taking it all out into the Roman Empire among the Gentiles. And so we're going to see in Acts the followers of Jesus traveling from place to place, which means from people to people, extending the love of Jesus, inviting everyone they meet to join God's family and become part of this thing that was started so long ago. I heard someone say that Luke, in Acts and in the Gospel of Luke, is all about these ever-widening circles of inclusion, inviting others, including everyone in God's plan for salvation and redemption. Not just every human, but also all of creation is going to be restored. And Jesus is inviting us to continue and start that work now. And he's going to come and fulfill it one day in the future. This is more, instead of just being invited to get on your hands and be saved, this is more about a revolution that Jesus is inviting you to be a part of. And it's a peaceful revolution, a revolution of love. It's a total reworking of what we know in this world. And there's been an undercurrent of people all throughout history have carried on this torch. The news gets all the bad stuff, right? All the bad things Christians do, and those are real. And we lament those, and we need to continue to honor and confess those awful things that Christians have done. But there's also been an undercurrent, there's been an understory of radical followers of Jesus who have carried on this mission all the way from the book of Acts. We are living in 2024, another year of struggle, world crisis, violence, fear. As another election approaches in America, we are concerned, many of us, about the state of our democracy, the dependability of the systems and structures we have grown accustomed to depend upon. In the halls of power, we continue to witness demonizing rhetoric, an ever-thriving war machine, harmful policies, and neglect of the most vulnerable. And the temptation for us will be to turn inward, to kind of circle our wagons, to stick with our tribe, and it's real. It's a real temptation. Yet Jesus is calling us to draw our circle wide, to claim our calling, to witness to Jesus in these trying times. And that'll mean Jesus is calling us. It's interesting in Acts, the Spirit's kind of always calling people to people they don't want to go to. So who are the people you don't want to love? That's who the Spirit might call you to love. And believe me, I know this is hard. Christina reminded me this week of another kind of hidden temptation that we might experience. And that's the temptation to try to do this on our own strength. I'm challenged regularly by the ways I'm giving in to the temptations of our world to live in a way that doesn't look like Jesus. And I want to change. I want to do better. I want to be more like Jesus. And often I just try to do it. I try to be better. I try to be more loving. I try to care more. But it doesn't work that way very well for me. The good news in Acts is that we don't have to do it on our own. Big part of our work is just confession, repentance, surrender, allowing God's Spirit in those moments of quiet and silence to fill us up and to inspire us and to give us that strength we need to continue walking this path of love. We can claim the Spirit's power and allow the Spirit to work with us, to continue to seek to widen those circles of love. Honestly, I don't know how I'm standing here today, continuing to do this after the last 3 years. I have been through a lot personally. We've been through a lot as a church. We've gone through a lot. We've experienced a lot. And I'll tell you, I haven't felt powerful at all, actually. It says the Spirit's going to give power, but I haven't felt a lot of power. Yet, as I look back over the last 3 years, I do see that the Spirit's been with me through it all. And the power has looked more of a power and vulnerability and weakness. It's been more of a wounded healer thing that Rob was talking about in this announcement. But I've seen the Spirit's been walking with me, giving just the power I need to continue moving forward, even as I'm tired and weak and worn. And my prayer is that we'll have the courage to follow where the Spirit's going to lead us throughout Acts, to follow this journey that the Spirit's led those early Christians on, to widen that circle of embrace, even though they didn't want to. Peter did not want to include the Gentiles. We're going to get to, he did not want to include anyone except his own people, and didn't think he should. He had to have a second Pentecost, and we're going to read about that later on, because the first one wasn't enough for Peter. He needed a second one, and finally he opened his vision, but they had a hard time broadening and widening that circle just like we do today. But my hope is we'll have the courage to follow where the Spirit leads us in Acts, and also follow where the Spirit has led throughout history to widen those circles, and how the Spirit's leading us now and into the future, because the Spirit is carrying on the mission of Jesus. The Spirit's always pointing at Jesus, saying, this is who you follow. This is what I am about. The Spirit is carrying on the mission of Jesus, and we are invited to follow where the Spirit will lead us. And I hope y'all are willing to go on that journey with me. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. We're going to share communion this morning. We believe the Holy Spirit is present in this simple meal we share every single Sunday of just a piece of bread and some juice. But we do believe that the Spirit is here in a powerful way. In our church, we believe really that Jesus' spiritual presence is here with us as we share communion. This is bread and juice. It's still bread and juice, we believe. But we believe that Jesus' Spirit is here with us and is doing something in some ways miraculous every week as he feeds us and nourishes us and helps us get our focus right back on what this is all about. It's about what Jesus started and the Spirit continuing this work in us and through us. If y'all bow your heads with me. God, thank you so much for being with us today. We thank you for your love and for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for all the ways you bless us and encourage us. And we also thank you for the ways you challenge us. We thank you for the way your Spirit, in some ways, is there, Lord, to make us uncomfortable so that we will continue to transform, continue to grow. But your Spirit is also communicating love and reminding us every moment of the day that we are your child. It says in Scripture, the Spirit testifies that we are children of God. So help us this morning to claim and to receive that challenge that you offer, to follow where the Spirit leads, but also that encouragement and that rest, that gift of knowing that we are your child. We pray, Lord, you would pour out your Holy Spirit on this bread and juice, that it would be for us your body and your blood, that you would fill us up today in a fresh way, that we would leave here changed. Lord, we pray we would want Jesus, want you, Jesus, just as much as Kai wants that bread, Lord, that we would want it, that that would be something for us, Lord, to guide us and sustain us in this life. Thank you, God, for loving us and being here. Help us, Lord, to have a vision to see beyond just ourselves, but to see every single person we encounter as someone you love deeply. And help us, Lord, to have the courage and the compassion and the love to see that they're bringing gifts to us, and that when we invite them in to God's family, to belonging, to love, to compassion, that we too are blessed and changed. Pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said together, amen. I'm going to invite those who are helping me serve communion to come on up. We take communion and embrace. For those who've maybe never taken it before, you'll just form two lines down the center aisle. As you come forward, have your hands open to receive the bread and the juice. Your server is going to rip off some bread for you, and they're going to dip it in the cup for you, and they'll place it in your hand. There's Kleenex if you need that. If you prefer to take prepackaged communion elements on your own, you can do that in the very back of the room. There's some back there in a basket. We do have gluten-free options that are prepackaged up here as well. Just let your server know. Everybody is welcome to take communion. You don't have to be part of our church. You don't have to have it all figured out. If you want to know God more, we believe God's table is open to you. So let me prepare this just for a moment, and then I'll invite you up. You all are invited to come whenever you feel led. No pressure at all, but if you want to share this with us, you're invited to come now.
Thank you.
Well, thank you all so much for being here today. As you're able, let's all stand for the benediction. Before I send you all out, just reminding you all that if y'all ever need anything, ever want to talk about anything in your life, about anything we're wrestling with in our sermons and our studies and all that stuff, you ever just need someone to listen, we're here for you. I'm here for you. Christina's here. Rachel's here. More than all of us here in the office every day, we love to connect with you all. So any time, set up an appointment, love to talk. So prepare your hearts to receive the benediction. May the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen. Go in God's peace. We'll see you next time.